Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to everybody out there. This is Prophet Ward. I am going to welcome you to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. And on tonight, we're going to just be talking a little bit about order. We're going to talk a little bit about order. If someone's out there, you cannot hear me because I'm working with a new microphone. Well, we're going into another season here, and I have to. I hooked up a new microphone here, so I really would like you to call me back to let me know if you can hear me or if you cannot hear me out there. But we're going to go forth with the show on tonight. We're going to start. We're going to play a little track here for you to hear, and then we're going to get into the word. I want to welcome you to another season. I want to thank you for tuning in. What we're going to start to do on Sunday Night Live, we want this to be a supplement. We want to increase your faith, but we want it to be a supplement for you. So we want this to add to your faith, and we believe this is a season that God is imparting. God is doing some raising up of individuals. He's just doing some rearranging in the kingdom. So I thank you for tuning in. We're going to get right into it after this song is played, and I want you to stay tuned. Be blessed.
Magnify him. Let's lift him up.
Praise the Lord.
I want to welcome you to Sunday Night Live. I want to thank you for tuning in on tonight, and we're going to get right into it. That was one of the singers in the Chicago Mass Choir singing Lift Him Higher. That was Lemmy Battles. Hope you enjoyed that. We're going to continue to go forward tonight. We're going to talk about order, so I want you to stay tuned and tune in and be blessed. Okay, I want to thank you again. I want to thank you for tuning in on tonight. I want to, we're going to talk a little bit on tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about order. And I really hope that this microphone is working because I cannot tell. So I would hate to have to do the whole show and it not be recorded. We're going to continue to go forth here on tonight. Again, I would hate to do this show and the whole thing not be recorded here. We're going to go forth. We're going to talk a little bit on tonight about order. And we're going to subtitle this. We're not just going to talk about order, but we're going to subtitle this a qualified leader. A qualified leader. A qualified leader. See, one of the things that we have, one of the things that we have here, and y'all forgive me here, because I really would like to make sure this does not get not recorded. And I can't hear anything on the radio, so I can't hear anything from the website streaming back live. And so it's making me a little nervous here because I don't want to start this and not be able to hear anything. My output is up. Okay, all right, it seems as if we're good to go here now. So let's get right into this. Let's get right into this. Okay, so let's begin, and I apologize about that, you guys. I really did not want to do a show and have it not be recorded here. So let's get into this. Okay, so let's get into what the Lord wants to talk about here on tonight. Again, this is Sunday Night Live, and we're going to get it live for you guys, and so we can get right into the message here. But there are some things that the Lord has been placing on my heart, and it's not it's almost as if it's right when he places it on my heart. You see some instances of it, but we're going to talk about order on tonight, and we're going to sub-entitle this A Qualified Leader. My grandfather in the gospel is none other than the late great apostle Norman Wagner. He discipled a gentleman by the name of Bishop C. Pearson. You know, I owe a lot to them for the anointing and the gospel that was imparted to me, and the prophetic anointing. My pastors right now, Apostle Barbara Apostle Ernest and Prophetess Barbara Taylor of Word of Life Ministries International right there in Chicago. And I thank God for them because I sit under them and they give me some wisdom and they give me knowledge and information and they just cover me in prayer and they give me input. And I want people out there to know that, look, having pastors that have been seasoned and been around a few years is a great thing. So I get to get some wisdom in prayer and I get some insight I probably would not get. So I appreciate that. But I want to talk about order here because as a prophet a few months back, the Lord began to deal with me about impartation. And he said, the anointings that you have on your life, I have impartations from, because my present pastors and they got an impartation from Oral Roberts. And then you're dealing with their covering. So that anointing stream comes on my life. And then from mentors back when, I've had impartation from pastors or from men and women who sat under Lester Sumrall, and then Smith Wigglesworth. You see there's a string there, and then Norman Wagner going back to Azusa. So I had to sit down and look at the anointings that are on my life, and God said, this is the season for impartation. So when I go forth, it's not that I want to impart that anointing, so to speak, but what I need to do is have an atmosphere that is created so people can get an impartation from the prophetic realm, from the office of the prophet, from that atmosphere. And that's what sparked us over here in Radcliffe, Kentucky, to begin to do these two impartation services monthly. Two impartation services monthly. We can bring out some speakers and have two or three ministers bombard the atmosphere with the word of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, and the prophetic. And people can prophesy. And when you're in these meetings, if you have a word and no one's preaching, then it's full reign for you. You raise your hand and we recognize you, that you have a word and that you have something to say. And so we want to hear the word of God coming from whomever it is coming from. And so that's where we do those prophetic events here and Bible study twice a week right here in Radcliffe, Kentucky, in conjunction with the Bible studies that we do online at the Sunday Night Live radio show. This radio show has blessed some people. It's been up for about a year. We're going into another season. There's been some difficulties, but we're going into another season of doing this radio show. We've added the Sunday Night Live and the Bible study to the radio show so you can have these in some archives. You'll be able to download these shows in MP3, put them on CD, and play them in your car on the go. And it's gonna be, you're going to need some word on the go when you're moving in your car, or if you didn't get in position to hear the radio shows. But all of these things are happening. But to connect it back to the impartation, that's why we have these impartation services, to be able to allow them to be in an area where people can receive the impartation from the prophetic. They can receive the impartation from the prophetic atmosphere that God has allowed this anointing on my life to be in. We're in an area and we're in a time and a period in history where everyone is an apostle, everybody is a prophet, and those are two giftings that God has given to the body of Christ to help promote it. But today, walking up to people, it's like everybody's an apostle and everybody's a prophet these days. And it's not a personal thing, but with my experience in it, I have to test and see. I have to find out, are you really what you claim to be? Or I have to hear the Lord and have to trust the prophetic giving us on my life. And I know, the Bible says, Lord, I come in the volume of the book. And today, when I go around and walk around with the prophetic anointing that's on my life, I'm coming as the prophet as the prophet Samuel. And see, in the Bible, there was a story with Samuel and Saul. And Saul had a great victory and was given some instructions, but Saul saw fit to do what he felt he needed to do because he felt he was in a position that was greater than. And no sooner than he had made that decision, the prophet came around the corner and had to remind him that this is what the Lord had said. And so what we fail to understand sometimes is that God has prophets in place as a checks and balances. And though we are apostles sometimes and we consider ourselves great and you are in a position where you feel no one else can tell you what to do, there are prophets that are in the house. Because when they prophesy by two or three. And there are prophets that are in the kingdom as a checks and balances system. Hello, judicial, executive, and legislative branches of government. The prophets come together in two or three. And see, they are to test the word. They are to prophesy the word. But they also check. And they are a checks and balances system in the kingdom of God. Let every word be confirmed by the word of two or three. Even in the court systems. Even in the judgment systems. In the Jewish atmosphere or culture, so to speak. So there is a checks and balances. What I'm finding is that a lot of us want to be apostles today because especially if we're African American or and it's sad, but we want to be apostles because there's nothing else greater for us to do. You know, not because God called us, you know, not because he called us, because apostles receive a call from God, not because somebody prophesied it to us. You know, it amazes me. We say we're doing something because somebody prophesied it to me. That's like me telling you that I'm a prophet because somebody called me a prophet, and the next day I just got up and became a prophet. Well, did I hear God tell me to do that? And then it's the timing of a thing. And we talked about timing, especially with prophets. Prophets have to understand the timing of God, because you can have a word from the Lord, but you can release it in the wrong timing, and it's a false word. So you have to release it with the timing of the Lord. This is why a lot of prophets operate in music. You got to understand timing. You got to understand rhythm, beat. You got to understand when. You got to know when, and you have to know how. And it's the same thing with the prophetic. Somebody can come to me and give me a prophetic word, but until the Lord confirms that word, then I don't need to do anything with it. But then on the same wise, we have to have the timing of the Lord, because though the prophetic was released on me years ago, I didn't start walking into the fullness of it till years later. And so what we're having is we got to understand the timing of the Lord when we receive our prophetic words, and it helps us to receive that. So we're in a day where you have a lot of apostles who are out of order and they're out of timing. We have people that are just not called at all, just out there. And the same thing with prophets. You're out of order, you're out of timing, and you're just calling yourself. We got prophets now. You're 19, 20, 22, 23 years old. You're elders, you're young, and all of this and all of that. You haven't even gotten wet behind your ears yet. Yeah, you can preach a gospel, but there's more to the gospel than just preaching. You can preach a gospel for salvation, but when you begin to be elders and call yourself prophets and call yourself pastors at these young ages, you know, God would like to season you. We would like you to learn how to read and know how to pronounce the names that are in the Bible before you got up to go pastor some people and claim that God called you to go preach them. We would like you to be able to pronounce the names of the characters in the Bible before you go out and buy an honorary doctorate from somebody and put it out there. So we would love for you to be able to do that. So we would love for you to be able to know how to do that before you get up and go out there and put yourself in a position that you should not be in. And about a month and a half ago, you know, that was one of the things with this impartation, with imparting to people, with releasing people into their next level, because there's a prophetic call to do that. The Lord began to remind me about the spirit of error, and I hadn't heard about that in a while, but you have a spirit of error that is in the atmosphere, and this spirit of error is to be released on the body. And a lot of times we don't talk about saints in the church who can be deceived, and saints in the church who are under other spirits, and this spirit of error that comes into the church to divide, and it comes in to make people think that they are more than who they really are, and they're more than what God is calling them to be, especially at the present time. And see, one of the things with that is if you go forth in your purpose and you go forth in doing something out of the wrong timing of God, and your spirit has not been built up to that, what happens is you go to start a business or you go to start a ministry and you are out of order, then everything that comes out of your loins is out of order. If God has called you to the gifting and you're out of timing, then everything you release out of wrong timing is now out of order, because it is not according to the timing of God. This is why God sends us prophets, and he sends us prophets to help and doctors of the law to help to realign us, apostles and prophets to us sometimes, to help to realign us, to set bones back in place, to help to realign us, to give us the medication and things that we need so that we can get back in the right order of God. And we need to thank God that he sends apostles and prophets who are able to do that and help us and help set us right. Because what we also see is a lot of apostles, when they call themselves apostles, or because they know they're premature, what they begin to do is ordain other apostles and ministers under them. And there's a lot of premature ordaining, and they ordain these people under them so that they can justify their titles. And that's not necessary when God has called you to that office. And then we see the same thing with prophets. God is calling somebody to be a prophet, like we saw. I was looking at the website today and saw that prophetess Melissa Brown, who is a powerful woman of God who ministered prophetically through music. She sung the song Rain on My Field on the Azusa Live CD, Bishop Carlton Pearson, years ago. I don't know if you remember that CD, but she sung that song live. And ministered powerfully in the prophetic. She came out, I remember she came out to Hawaii to minister in the prophetic. We bought some of her prophetic CDs. She just really did some things and ministered. Well, years later, what happens is, as a prophet, you feel that you should get a certain amount of recognition, because you feel that you're not recognized. You should get some recognition. You should be doing more, or people should be looking at you in a greater light. So now she's calling herself an apostle. So now she's not Prophetess Melissa Brown. She's Apostle Melissa Brown. And the same thing with Diane Palmer. That Prophetess Diane Palmer. I was looking on a site today and saw the Prophetess Diane Palmer is now Apostle Diane Palmer. Who called her that? Okay, who called her to that? Or did she just say, well, you know, I've been prophesying for a while, and my other female friends and my other friends, they've been doing things, and I did, and I think I need some promotion in the spirit. And did she get connected with somebody who just promoted her in the spirit? But God didn't promote you in the spirit, but you're going to get someone else to promote you in the spirit. And people say, well, how do you know that? Well, when you get into, and we're talking about order here, when you get into the legalities and you get into the scriptures, you have people who really don't understand the Bible. They get into conjecture and all this discussion over the Bible when it says the man is to be, excuse me, a bishop is to be the husband of one wife, and then they want to discuss that. It's quite explanatory. It's self-explanatory, but it's made quite clear. If God is omniscient, as you say He is, you say God is omniscient, that you say God knows everything, you claim that the Bible is without error, it's inerrant, so why is there a problem when it comes to reading the Bible? Did not God know that these texts would be printed, and He knew the controversy that would be around these books? This is the foreknowledge of God. He knew all of these things, and then with all the women that was around them in the Bible, why didn't He bring a woman to the forefront as an apostle? Well, there are some things, because God would be contradicting Himself. And He would not have made it where you have to discuss whether some obscure junior or Junius was an apostle. Now, He would have made it clear in the scriptures. So we go into cultural times. We talk about the social atmosphere of the times when the book was written, you know, the people He was writing it to. After you've done all that research and after you've done all that, I'm going to need you to go back to the Bible and still read the scripture. So there was a reason why God did not have any female apostles that were mentioned there. When you talk about the order of God, You get Paul telling us about the word usurp. Usurp is to take authority. You're taking the power. You're taking a position. And usurp, the scripture tells us that a woman is not to usurp authority over the man. And the reason why is going back to Genesis, back to the Garden of Eden. Well, when we go to the Garden of Eden, we know that man was made first. When we go back to Corinthians, we know Paul tells us that the head of woman is man, head of man is Christ, head of Christ is God. So therefore, why would I, as a male has an authority of God that's on him by sheer birth. So why would I, being the first of the human creation, being the one who's first in this order of things, submit my authority to one that was after me, to one that was created secondly? Though she did come out of the body of man, God took from man and made woman. And we know the first Adam was androgynous, and God took the woman out of man and made the two. And we know the two were meant to be together. And then we understand in the New Testament there is neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. But we need to understand what Paul is talking about. Excuse me, what the scriptures are talking about. We need to understand what the Bible is talking about, because there's no male or female in Christ Jesus in the spirit realm. Because God is neither male nor female. We need to understand where that scripture is coming from, what it's talking about. It's not talking about titles and positions, because titles and positions by default, why would it be talking about titles and positions when titles and positions by default do not have a gender connected to them, but the authority does. So it's the authority of the position that we're talking about here. So this is why we did not see bishops and apostles as women. Secondly, when you get into the physiological aspect of it, there were missions that apostles had to go on that women's physiology, the way they're made, their body, their strength, it would not have been able to uphold or to withstand the persecution and the perilous times that the apostles had to go through. Okay, yeah, God can keep, but your physical body can only stand up so long before it tears down. That's another reason. There are a plethora of reasons why God didn't have women apostles. And then when you talk about bishops, you're talking about a position in the church. And if He has already stated that in the spiritual realm, man is head of woman, why would a woman be in any position within the church spiritually over a man? That means if she is there, she is by default usurping authority, power, and position over the man. And any man that voluntarily sits under that, you give up your authority and you give it to her, and she usurps it at the same time. So this is why we're not supposed to see bishops and apostles. But guess what? we know that God is not a respecter of persons. So every now and then, we understand if there are parts of this world and there are parts of countries where there are some women and they are the only ones there who's going to be able to do the job because the men are not, or the men are lacking, or they're being arrested, or they're being killed, murdered, enslaved. So God will raise up women to do a work that was for a man. You know, God would raise up a woman to do a work that was for a man. You understand what I'm saying? He will do that. But to the abundance we see it today is the wrong answer. I'm going to give you some tidbits about these female apostles, because a lot of the female apostles that we see operating today, they're either single or divorced, or they're going through a divorce, or that spirit of Lesbos that's operating through them wanting to usurp authority that says, I don't need a man, I don't need nobody, it's just me and Jesus, and I can do whatever I want to do. That's one of the first spirits that attacks them and why they want that position. And the second thing is we see that spirit represented in their marriage because they end up getting divorced, or they end up being by themselves or going through multiple marriages. And if you look at the history, you will see that. And they end up messing up the body of Christ. And then on top of that, that same spirit of Lesbos, we see it because that spirit of Lesbos flips, because then we see a lot of effeminate men that hang around them. And we know that the women are out of order, because when you let effeminate men hang around you and you receive that spirit, that is not the order of God. They receive that, and so they have that spirit hanging around them because the spirit that's operating through the woman wants to be pumped up, wants to be made bigger, wants to blow up. And see, these women don't want to take counsel from women who are married. See, these same women, all these apostles, and you're huge, huge, huge. You want to take the authority from your husband, and see, you got the husbands in positions like that. They don't know what to do. They don't know whether to be the man or the woman. They don't know where the authority lies. And then don't let the husband make less money than the woman. And don't let the husband not have a position of work. Then it's always an issue, because the woman come home like she's the head of the household, like she's putting things together, like she's doing this. And then if she don't have the money to do things for the ministry, she's bringing that foolishness home. So there's a lot of stuff that's operating. So you see these spirits manifest, the feminine spirits. You see the men hanging around them with the feminine spirits. You see the manifestation of divorce. You see the spirit of frustration, shame, guilt, all these things that come into the marriage in the spirit of witchcraft, because a lot of these women who are false apostles and false bishops operate with this spirit of witchcraft that's operating through the woman. It is the Jezebel spirit which really can manifest in men and women, but more so in a woman, because a lot of positions are by default given to men. So if women want to have that authority, they have to learn how to manipulate people to get the authority that they want, or to get the title that they want, so then they can separate from you. They want to use you. See, and that's what these gifts do too. You will notice these women and these females and the men that have these false titles too, what they will do is they will get connected to somebody with a name. They will get connected to somebody that's legitimate. They will get connected to somebody that has the capacity to push their name out in front of other people, because they're using them only to the effect that they will help to promote them and who they are. And when they get tired, of it, Or when something happens and they don't want to take correction, or they don't want to take instruction in righteousness, then they separate. These are people that join fellowship. They jump fellowship to fellowship. They jump from church to church. Who are your pastors? You're an apostle, but who pastored you? And if you're a true apostle, you should have had an apostle that ordained you. So how is your bishop? How are you sitting under somebody who's a pastor ordaining you as an apostle? You know, what up with that? I mean, you know, so you see a lot of things that are just out of order when you look at these people's lives, who their pastors are. You know, their gifting and calling is out of order. They are out of order. They don't have a covering. You understand? Then they have all this foolishness going on in their own lives. And then you are supposed to represent one of the highest offices in the church, and yet the God that you claim you have and that called you cannot manifest this power and keep your marriage and keep you and keep your family, but you want to come into the household of God and lord your authority over everyone else. The devil is a liar, and you are too. So this is how we can tell these false ones that are in the body of Christ, and all these false prophets. You know, people have today what I call a Facebook ministry. You have a Facebook ministry. You understand what I'm saying? That's all you have. You have a Facebook ministry. You can get on Facebook and recreate yourself with your trifling self, just rebellious, you trifling, you're not under authority, but you're on Facebook calling yourself this, that, and the other because you got your friends blowing you up and telling you are everything but what God called you to be. And so you're on Facebook now blowing yourself up to be the best thing since sliced bread. So what we got to do now, we got all these people friending us. They're friending us to get validation from us. They're friending us to get validation from us so they can use us to push themselves. It's like a spin doctor. They use they're like spin doctors in the spirit. They want to use you so to propel them further. And see, we have to watch this. And so with the spirit of error, this spirit of error is not just flowing there, because a lot of these prophets, if you are a prophet or an apostle or any of the ascension gifts, apostle, pastor, prophet and teacher and evangelist, and you are out of order operating in a gift, you are operating in the spirit realm. Therefore, you are now a witch because you are out of order. You are a warlock. You are a witch. You are a sorcerer. You are a sorceress. You are practicing witchcraft, because according to Galatians chapter 5, which a lot of people really need to drive in this day, talking about the works of the flesh. Witchcraft is a work of the flesh. And witchcraft is the manipulation. And the definition, I know our Lord gave me a definition, because witchcraft is basically rebellion against the Lord. See, in the Bible, when you had Hananiah prophesy against, when you had Hananiah prophesy against these false prophets that were in the scriptures, see, you had a couple of prophets prophesy against some of these false prophets, and then he turned to them and let them know that because they taught rebellion, Hananiah was the false prophet. We're about to go there right now. He was the false prophet. And I believe we're talking about Jeremiah here, because Jeremiah was the one that if I'm correct on that, told him, said, okay, well, praise the Lord. Everybody got prophecy. Well, wonderful. We'll see if God said that. But this is what the Lord told me with your great self. This is what he told me. Because, see, when you call yourself a prophet, you instantaneously get a lot of folks around you claiming to be prophets, and everybody want to try you. Everybody's quick to tell you, I'm hearing the Lord, too, and I can hear him, too. All right, Miriam and Aaron. So people say that. That's what people do. And we're going to touch on them. We're going to touch on Miriam and Aaron later on. So what happened with Hananiah, Jeremiah had to prophesy to him. Now, we go to Jeremiah chapter 29, we'll start at verse 13. And the scripture says, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beast of the field also. And verse 15, then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah, the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Not only was he teaching rebellion because he was giving out false prophecy that sounded real good, and it sounded, quote unquote, what we call today God-like, because the only scripture that it seems like some of us know is that I have thoughts of peace and not of evil for you, so I can give you a future and a hope. And that God is only a God. If it's not positive, if it doesn't fall in that realm, then it's not God. But that's the devil. The Old Testament lets us know God is a God of judgment, and he uses prophets to set things in order. So it behooves us when we roll up on a prophet to understand and see where they are in the authority level in the spirit. Where are they in the spirit with your great title? Because, see, what happened with Saul was, and Saul was king, but the prophet was the prophet. The prophet had the authority to walk from the back of the pulpit to the front of the sanctuary right down to the king's chamber when he left the temple. So he had the authority in the temple as well as in the king's chamber. That's where God had given them the scope. And today we have a lot of people that seek the higher positions because can't nobody tell you anything, and you just love positions. And in the African-American, quote-unquote, diaspora, we love these positions because we didn't grow up, we don't have a degree, we don't have a good job. So we like hoodwinking people of God by presenting ourselves to be something that we're not, and then we take our gifting and go somewhere where nobody really knows us, so no one can say, I know you, and this is who you really are. So we go to different cities and stuff to try to reestablish ourselves, to try to recreate ourselves, so nobody can know the foolishness that we really do behind the scenes, so nobody can really know that our character is really jacked up, so nobody can really know that I just go places to do conferences and take your money and leave. So that's what they do. They get these titles, they go to different cities, and they just start ministry. So I'm admonishing you, look, you need to be able to research people and pray and find out about the spirit of God. Somebody new comes into the city. Well, who is your pastor? Who do you sit under? What are you doing? And especially in this apostolic and prophetic thing, because when you find friends in the apostolic and prophetic ministry, stay close to them and connect with them and stay close to them. Because when you find friends in the apostolic and prophetic when you find friends in the apostolic and prophetic, you're really going to find out that they are far and between, far and in between. So connect with them, because we have a lot of charlatans out there. Because apostles, I should be able to tell your calling. See, apostles and prophets, I should be able to tell your calling by the manifestation of the Spirit in the house when you get up on there. See, that's why I don't even say anything anymore. We'll find out if you're a prophet when I pass you the microphone. We'll find out if you're an apostle when I pass you this microphone. We're going to find out how much anointing you're operating in when I pass you this microphone. So we're not really worried about that. I don't even really get worried about that anymore. We'll see if you're walking in the manifestation of what your title claims to be. And that's how you can tell false people, because you can look at their titles, but their anointing doesn't match up with their title. And when your anointing doesn't match up with your title, that's the key right there, that you're false. Now let's talk about within the body of Christ, because we got people in the body of Christ that are called to churches. And what is happening today, these spirits of deception, these seducing spirits, are catching the ears of people who are in churches. And you got people in churches raising up now saying, you know, you look at your, they looking at the pastor, they looking at people, I can do that too. And so they just want to get up and come in ministry. So the first thing we have is people, look, if you've been you've been a part of somebody's ministry for years, okay, just because you've been a part of a ministry for years does not mean you've been in the ministry for that many years. What have you done in the ministry? And I'm not, you know, what have you done in the ministry? And I was at a ministry, yes, I went to the nursing home and preached, and it won't just for 1 month or 2 months. I went down to them and fed the homeless. It wasn't just on and off. Okay, this was something that we did, that we volunteered. When we had that time to do it, we made that our place of duty, our place that we wanted to go and help. These are things, praise and worship team, you know, the music ministry. You understand what I'm saying? Minister, youth pastor, youth minister. I mean, there are different things that we labored, that you're supposed to labor in ministries with. Not just, I did this for 3 months so I can pass on to another area, or I did this on and off, I did this on and off. And now people ask you, you've been in ministry for 20 years and you done did this, you done did that. Well, let's talk to your pastors and see what you have really done. Okay, and I know we don't do that anymore, but let's see what you have really done. Let's see who you really are, because a lot of people that they operate in ministry don't have the integrity of God. So this is how you're going to know, because there are a lot of people out here who are claiming that God is speaking to them, but let me help you out. That's really not God speaking to them. They're saying, God showed me this, and God told me this, and God showed me this, and God's doing all this showing to you, but God didn't show you order. It amazes me. It just amazes me. God is doing all this showing to you, but he ain't showing you order. Now, I done been in ministry for more than a minute, so I'll give you some stories about being out of order. And some of these ministries I've been in, there was always somebody who got up or somebody who left the ministry and said, look, this is what God is telling me to do. God is telling me to go down here. God is telling me to start a ministry. Well, it's funny, because God is a God of order. How is he telling you to start a ministry without you bringing that to your leadership first? Because, see, when there's leadership that's already established, what God will do, he will use his established leadership. He will use that leadership right there, because God is not going to come out of order. And he will place it on your heart. And if you're truly in that position, for the people that are truly in that position, that God is truly calling out of a church or a ministry to go and to plant a work, you would begin to ask God, look, God, reveal this to my pastors and my leadership. Put it on their heart, Father God. Touch their hearts with this so they can reveal this. Touch the prophet's heart. Let it be revealed, and give God some time to do that, and then schedule a time, maybe a couple of weeks after that, schedule a time where you can sit down with your leadership and say, this is what I am thinking about, and this is what the Lord is showing me. But when you have people that are in ministry, they go do their own thing and then want to come back and say, I'm leaving because God showed me, that wasn't God. That was your own spirit. And let's go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 13. And this is happening all across America, because we're right here in Radcliffe, Kentucky, with some pastors and some leaders that are just out of order. We're right here. I've been in Radcliffe, Kentucky. I've been not just in Radcliffe, Kentucky. I've seen this in Hawaii. I've seen this in Texas. I've seen this in Louisiana. I've seen this in Georgia. I've seen this in Illinois. I've seen this in Virginia, overseas. I mean, wherever you go, you're going to find people who get into ministry, because then all of a sudden they begin to see God, and they see clearer than the pastors, and they see more than the pastors. And now they don't understand, but in the spirit they place themselves at a place of idolatry, because all of a sudden now you see better and clearer than the pastors do, and all of a sudden you see better and clearer for your life, when the Bible says that he's given us leaders. He's given us people to watch over our souls, and if they're watching over our souls and God has assigned them to do so, it behooves us that we listen to them, because when we fall out of line with what they are telling us to do, then we're placing ourselves out there. And if you are out there, if you are not under, that means you're trying to be over. And if you're over and not under, then you're just out there and out of order. So let's go to the scriptures here. And we're talking about being in order, being in order. Because if you are in ministry right now and you feel a leading of the Holy Ghost to move you out of ministry, look, listen to the prophet. Look, go to your pastors and talk to them and sit down and say, you know what, look, this is what the Lord is telling me. It is out of order for you to just jump up and leave. If God is calling you to do a church, if God is calling you to do an itinerant ministry, he's calling you just to start a 501c3, there is nothing wrong with that. If you have pastors who are truly about ministry, there's nothing wrong with that. You can be under your pastors and be in ministry, have covering for what you do. But we understand there is a spirit of deception here. And there was a demonic spirit operating as an angel of light when we do not want to follow the order of God. And when we don't follow the order of God and come back and try to apologize, look, your apologies, you might as well keep them to yourself. I've seen people come back and say, you know, they truly apologize. A true apology, I've seen this happen in ministries, and they came back and apologized, and they submitted themselves under the ministry. They shut down what they said they were about to do. That's a true apology. That's true repentance, because I don't know what came over me. I don't listen to you, and you brought me this far, and so this is what God wants to do. But when you come back, and I call it a false spirit of humility, and I'm talking out of things that I've seen and experienced, a false spirit of humility says, oh, I'm sorry, but I'm going to keep on going and what I believe God called me to do. That's false humility. And that's rebellion. And that's rebellion that's in your spirit, because you didn't want to hear God. You didn't want to hear God. You didn't want to hear what they would say, because they probably would have shut you down. They probably would have told you what you already knew or what everybody else was saying, that it's not your time, that this is not God, that this is the devil, that you're going to so-and-so church. You need to bring your time back on over here, that you're going to start ministry. It's not time. Come on back. Bring your behind. Oh, yeah, and it amazes me. Prophets are prophets as long as we are prophesying well to you. How pastors are great as long as they are prophesying good things to you and giving you instruction that's going to help you out. But all of a sudden, when we give you correction and reproof and instruction and righteousness with your rebellious self, then all of a sudden it's not the Lord. It's funny how instantaneously we become not the Lord and not God when you claim you're hearing from God, when all the while the voice of the Lord comes through leadership. And see, that's a principle that God uses. If man cannot obey the voice of God through men, then God totally rejects you, because how can you expect him to, how can he expect you to obey his voice directly when you can't, and that's a whole nother level. You can't even hear his voice through the men and people he has right there in front of you. And this way, people, look, if y'all got people around y'all that are in rebellion, look, this is how you know they're in rebellion. It's because when you got people around you who have been seasoned, the Bible says, let every word be confirmed in the mouth of two or three. So if you got elders and people around you that are coming up to you telling you, look, you're out of timing. Look, this is wrong. Look, come back. Look, we love you. No, bring this in. This is not it. Go back and apologize. And you still go forth. And not only do you go forth, but you get in the spirit of Isaiah. Now, we're going to go to Chronicles, because I need to break this down, because we got people out there. They're not just wrong. They just, I call it LPW, like they used to tell us. The minister of music used to tell us in choir, they used to let us know, saying, you were loud, proud, and wrong. I want you to go to the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We're going to hit on this story. We're going to hit on a couple of other stories. But again, if you're tuning in, we're talking about rebellion. Here, we're talking about rebellion, and then subentitled a qualified leader, because if you are in rebellion, that disqualifies you for leadership. And if you are in rebellion, pastors need to push you away from them as far as they can, because this spirit of rebellion in the house of God, it begins to mess with other people that are around you. Because, see, if we really can get into it, when you have rebellion, if you're a pastor or a leader, when you have somebody in your church that's in rebellion and that decides to do this, one of the questions you really have to ask, and you really have to go back to God and start reevaluating your armor bearers and some of your leadership positions, because you have to ask God, well, my God, how did this happen? Somebody in the house knew and did not tell me. So there are other people in the house that know about rebellion, but they felt more allegiance to the individual that was rebellious than they did to tell you about the rebellion that was going on. So you have to start to find out and start to drive this spirit of rebellion, which is nothing more than the spirit of witchcraft, out of the church, because it will affect those that are around you. It will affect the congregation, and even more than that, it will affect the new converts, because you have new converts that are coming in being affected by this witchcraft by somebody. You know, if you have individuals, especially if it's a leader that's been there a while, or a member that's been there a while, or somebody that's, you know, been in a part of the ministry for a long time. Because what I find is, and I've seen it too, we bring people in off the street, we've helped them. Okay, I've seen people, they come in from the street, or they come in from jail, we help them get back on their feet. They come in, they used to be a prostitute, we help them get back on their feet. They used to be homeless, we help them get back on their feet. And some of those people, they come in, once they get what they got and they get what they need, they turn around, they leave, and they go back out and they leave the ministry. It's what it is. But then you have some people who come in, they get plugged in, they get connected, then they turn around and leave, and it's like, well, we didn't see this coming, what's going on, but it is what it is. If the Lord is in the house, the Lord is going to reveal. But this is the word of the Lord to those, because we have people out there, they're bold now. I hear the Lord too. As a matter of, you know, I hear the Lord too. And I had somebody basically tell me that one time on the telephone recently, and it took everything in me not to just shut that mess down and hurt his little feelings. But and not just then, I've had that happen a couple of times in ministry, where we've had people, you know, they come up to me, and I still see it all the time. People come up to you, you know, like, are you really a prophet? And they just disregard your authority and ranking in the spirit, and then they put themselves on the same level that you are on. And I'm like, really? So you're real encouraged about yourself. And then so you see this same spirit of rebellion, because how dare you roll up on people who have been digging, who have been traveling, who have been doing this work and have a level in the spirit that you have no idea what level they're on, and you just roll up in their face as if you are equal to or greater than. So let's go to the book of Numbers 12, because this happened in the Bible. You had your friends, and if this is you, and this is what I'm talking about, let's go to the book of Numbers, because this is what happens. Because this spirit must get on you in order to allow you to feel justified and right in what you're doing when people leave these ministries. And again, talking about order, a qualified leader and a spirit of error, because qualified leaders understand leadership. And if you understand leadership, you will not do anything that has the appearance, likeness, or similitude of rebellion, because you place your character above all things and not your desires. And see, a lot of times what we do, and I've seen people too. I've had people try to give me counsel. I'm like, are you even saved? You're not even saved. Okay. Or you got people that are in the church that's saved. Okay. You don't even have the authority in your spirit to give me any counsel concerning anything or speak authoritatively to me. I've actually been in altar calls with certain people. I say, thank you, but you're not laying hands on me. And people look at me like I'm crazy. No, you're not. You're not laying hands on me. I'm not going to receive any counsel from certain individuals, because I've been observing and watching your life. Your life needs to be unspotted in the spirit. You need to have an authority. I need to see a track record. Not to say you need to be perfect, but we need to see a track record of the anointing of character. And we have a lot of people, your household ain't even straight, but you want to go and pastor and be a minister and an evangelist and a doctor, deacon, and all this other stuff. Your household ain't even straight. You married and can't even get authority over your wife, who controls you and tell you what to do. Your kids are still out there rebellious and sin. You don't even have to. What is really going on? Is what we can really ask. What's going on? Because God gave us the power to save us and our whole household. Our whole household. There needs to be an authority there. There needs to be something going on there. There needs to be some subjection going on there. So we have a lot of people who want to operate in a position and an anointing. They're trying to operate in a position that they haven't even gotten an anointing that's nowhere near that position. But on top of that, they claim to have an anointing on their life that they can't even bring their family or the people around them subject to. You know, I don't even want to ask people, have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost? Because we got a lot of people, you got saved and you've been operating in God and got right in ministry, but you never got the baptism. Oh, the Spirit stepped inside you to regenerate you, but you never got the Holy Ghost to get the boldness and to get the power to be able to go forth in this walk and be a foe, what's the word I want to use? To be a worthy foe of Satan. But let's talk about this, because we got people in the body who say, they roll up to the prophets, to the pastors, I hear God too. Okay, wonderful. Let's go to Numbers chapter 12. And the Bible says, Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also only by us? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now, the man Moses was very meek, and above all men which were upon the face of the earth. See, this is what we have today, too, because people see their pastors, and they see their pastors are meek. But see, the Bible says, see, your judgment is going to be great when you have pastors that are meek and are actually trying to work with your crazy, rebellious, stupid behind. And I know I'm being direct, but see, you got pastors that are meek, then the rebellion is great, and the judgment of God is great, because the Bible says God heard it. Now, Miriam was older than Moses was, and here we have Aaron as the high priest. And we know God is, and Miriam was a prophetess. But God said, you know what? Aaron is the one I put in charge. Hello, pastors. I put these pastors in charge and watch over your soul and your spirit. And here you are going to roll up like you are the pastor now. And you're just going to bypass them as if their authority means nothing. When the Bible says that God heard it, and Moses was meek. Let's go to verse 4. And it says, the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam. He says, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of congregation. And they all came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam. And they came, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, he says, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, you could say face to face, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, he said, look, I know you claim you hearing the God, but I put leaders in the house to be my voice, so you need to hear them. I put leadership there. So your spirit doesn't matter. You need to follow the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is in leadership. See, this is where it comes. The voice of the Lord is in leadership. Well, I'm on consecration, and God called me. And God, okay, take your consecration. Take your anointing and your consecration and sit it down. Because when it comes to order, God don't care about what I did, what I went on, what I heard from the Lord. Good. When you hear from the Lord, then take it up to the leadership. Take it to the prophets. Take it to who you need to take it to. When you leave Arabia, take your behind right back down in Jerusalem, where you can be solidified among those who are already in it, who are already called to it, who have been operating in it. But he says, with Moses I speak face to face, but he basically said, why were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So this is what people do. This is the rebellion. You know, I'm starting my ministry. I'm going. Your pastors are telling you, no, not time. No, God ain't calling you. No, there's more stuff to do. Well, I'm going because I heard the Lord. Okay, you just as rebellious. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the Bible says, and the cloud departed from off of the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O Lord, saying, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should I not be ashamed even 7 days? He said, uh-uh. See, Moses went to God to stand in the gap. God said, uh-uh, back it up. If her father had but spit in her face, should I not let her be? If her father had raped her, if her father had beat her, if some other stuff would happen, he said, will she not be outside the camp for 7 days? Uh-uh. And this is greater than that. Uh-uh. Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. See, her little rebellion, that little rebellion caused the whole camp to stop. It caused the whole church to stop. And you'll find out, leaders, that sometimes this stuff will happen at the most inopportune time. And see, it just reveals some stuff. You know, it'll be like we're in the middle of, I remember in Hawaii, we'll be in the middle of a jurisdictional, you know, at that time, PAW, you'll be in the middle of a jurisdictional event and got people coming in and have a big event going on, and then this foolishness is going on behind the scenes to get us unfocused. Or we have a great event, we have somebody coming down, or the church was, in one case, the church was transitioning buildings, or the church was going into a big move, and then something, all this foolishness and stuff that pops up, or there's just a lot of different things. You can have things, our pastors go on sabbaticals, they travel, they leave the church. That's when a lot of this foolishness like to start, when pastors go on leave or vacation, or they got to go away and visit. Then you have all this foolishness going on between assistant pastors, leaders and elders, and people leaving the church, all this foolishness to try to thwart and stop what God is doing. But guess what? Miriam was cast out of the camp 7 days. God did not intercede. God did not stop that judgment. He said, she thinks she bad. She got this prophetess thinks she's bad. So she's the oldest one, and she's a prophetess, and she thought this was okay, and so did Aaron. And so this is what I'm going to do. And God used an example to show them, do this mess again, and this is how I'm going to respond. Because this is how God responds to this type of rebellion. Now, I'm going to go over here. Because, you know, some people, they don't even read their Bible, so they don't know stuff like this is in there. You know, and I know this is a little old school leadership teaching here that we're doing, but I want you to tune in. I want you to get this. I want you, if you can get this, play this in your car. Because this is going to be, if you can get this, play this in your car. Because this is going to be, if you can get this message, get this message, burn it, play it in your car, because you're gonna really get, you're gonna get some nuggets out of this. You're gonna be able to get some nuggets out of this, and you're gonna be able to get some revelation. Let's go over here to the Book of Chronicles. I want to lay a foundation, so I want to give you some scriptures so leaders that are hearing this, you can take this message and go back and really study it. God can encourage you in this to let you know what you need to do with these rebellious individuals and this stuff that's happening to the church, because we have a lot of leaders nowadays with no backbone. We have a lot of leaders nowadays with no backbone. We just want to be nice to everybody. It's great to be nice to everybody, but praise the Lord. I came up, they will let you know just straight face to face. Just you got to get up out of here, because, see, that rebellion will spread in your church. And not saying, you know, and it will spread in your church. You just got to understand the mind of God against rebellion. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. We're going to go to chapter 26 in 2 Chronicles. And verse 16 says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Talking about Uzziah. This is when Uzziah usurped the priest's office. And it talks about his punishment. So these are the same people, Uzziah. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. I'm hearing from the Lord. And he transgressed against the Lord his God, went up into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. That was not his place to do. You going out and start ministry, your pastor's telling you, hey, not your time. When he went to do it, verse 17 says, Azariah the priest, hello, your pastors are telling you. They went in after him, and they went in with him 80 of the Lord that were valiant men. So 80 people went in there with Azariah. 80 plus 1 is 81. 8 plus 1 is 9. 9 is the number of judgment. So this scripture, you can already know there's some judgment that's going to follow. But they went in. These were valiant men. See, these were people who knew God. That's why the scripture placed that there. Azariah didn't just run up in there out of his position. I'm the priest. It's supposed to be my position. No, 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 no. These were 80 valiant men that went in there with him to say, hey, look, dude, this is not your spot. This is not your time, not your place, not for you. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said to him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests' sons, but unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thy honor from the Lord. They said, you are trespassing. Okay. You need to stop what you're doing and take your behind back to where you were. Put all this down. Who are you listening to? You're listening to some demonic voices. You're listening to people that are under spirits of deception. They're under spirits of error. The Bible says even if the elite could be deceived, they would be deceived. Who are you listening to? See, Uzziah did not listen to these 80 valiant men that came with Azariah. So these were 81 valiant men who came to tell him and warn him. We know Uzziah was under a spirit because he did not want to listen to these 81 individuals. And if the word is confirmed by the mouth of two or three, how are you so big and so great? You're not listening to 81 people who have proved themselves. See, when you're valiant, you proved yourself. So you've proved yourself in the Lord. You have a track record. You have the character. You have the integrity. You have the anointing. You have the position. You have the title. You have it all. And these are people that you're not going to listen to basing it off, I heard the Lord. Wonderful, Uzziah. Uzziah said, okay, I'm going to do what I want to do. In verse 19, it says, then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy rose up even in his forehead. The leprosy rose up even in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense of others. So what happens is, here we are trying to tell you that God is not calling you to do this, and you are getting angry and you're getting wroth. And the Bible says, as soon as he got wroth or as soon as he got angry, according to the scriptures, as soon as he got wroth or as soon as he got angry, leprosy struck him. So we're telling you not to do this. We're giving you instruction. And in your spirit, you just raise up. See, you reject that. And he said, okay, great, wonderful. I got some for that. But see, leprosy struck his head even as he was getting angry, as his spirit was being changed, and he got wroth in his spirit. And see, verse 20 says, and Azariah the chief priest and all the other priests looked upon him, and they said, and behold, he was leprous, and they thrust him out from thence. They threw him out. They said, you got to get up out of here. And see, this is what needs to happen today when we see this rebellion in our church. It's okay, God bless you. I'm not going to deal with you. I'm not going to stay connected with you. Show up ain't going to cover you. You don't want to listen to me. I'm not going to do anything about it, because guess what? I got people who are going to look at you and think that this is the right thing to do. You need to be dealt with openly. You need to be dealt with on a whole nother level. And this is for people all across the country, because I want people to get in their flesh all across the country. These are pastors all across the country. You got leaders who are raising up and doing these things. Look, let them go. Look, if they are in rebellion, let them go. Don't take your new converts and let that rebellion rub off on them. Because the Bible says here, they threw him out. They couldn't wait to get him out when this leprosy was on him, because they didn't want it to spread. Rebellion will spread like a cancer and like a disease. Get them out quick. They don't want to listen to you. Take counsel. It is too easy. Get them from amongst the people. Disfellowship with them. Let them do what they do on their own, and make it clear that we have nothing more to do with them, to do with this individual, or to do with this man and woman, man, woman, whoever it may be. Disfellowship with folks. It's the same thing you do with people that are in sin. And why we still do people that have unrepented sin in the church who are influencing other individuals, you're supposed to do the same thing. Disfellowship with them and let it known in the open that they don't want to repent. So disfellowship with them, and you let the congregation know you're not to fellowship with them either. And that is a commandment that is given to the congregation, and people that fellowship with them, they succumb to the same spirit that's on them. And the same thing with the spirit of rebellion. You disfellowship. Because you stay in here, you're going to affect other leaders, you're going to affect the new converts, and it's going to spread as rebellion, because that spirit wants to come in and to divide, and it wants to kill. And so that's the source of your church splits, and that's the source of people coming into your ministry trying to tear up everything that God has built up over the years. You must get rid of that spirit of rebellion, and for leaders, and then trust the Lord. Look, God is not going to take nothing back. He's not going to return back seven times. When the enemy is caught, he must return it back seven times. And on top of that, let me say this on top of that, not just seven times. God, when you sow a seed, you're going to get it back. Some get it back 30, 60, some 100-fold. But you're in the supernatural. You can get back everything that God has, everything that has been broken away. But God can return it 100 times over, 1,000 times over, whatever he wants to do. But the scripture says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 6 here, verse 21, and Uzziah the king was a leper to the day of his death. And he dwelt in a sepulchral house, which is the house all by himself. And being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. So for the rest of his time, because he did not want to obey what these priests did, he was struck with leprosy. He had the rebellion on him, and he was known as a leper for the rest of his life. Look, when you get in rebellion like that, and you don't want to listen to leadership, and you get out and start your own ministry, you will be known as a leper in your ministry for the longest your ministry is alive, and long as it's out. Operating, your ministry will be leprous. It will be diseased. It will never grow to the fruition that it needs to grow to, because it's out of order, and you are out of order. Therefore, everything you birth will be out of order, and everything that they birth will be out of order and in rebellion. So the spirit of rebellion will rule over your house. And in the spirit of rebellion, you have all of the works of the flesh, hatred, lust, envy. You have a variance there, witchcraft. There's a lot of things that's going to be in your house, because your whole ministry is going to be a leper until you're able to come back and sit under and let God bring you to a point where you're able to go out and really handle, really pastor, really teach, really lead. Some of us not even ready for itinerant ministry. We're so, you know, you've been in the church for 10, 15 years. It does not mean that you're mature in the spirit, because I can tell you're behind to go preach a Sunday school class and dice you up and just tell you how jacked up you were. I can have you preach Bible study and really see, you can't even preach right. Talking about you want to go out here to the nations. I can take you out here and ask you to conduct some business or do some things. It takes time to perfect the things that pertain to the people of God and to the ministry. And see, that's why we want to be something more than we are. We want to go out, we want titles, we want positions, we want degrees. We want a lot of things. I remember I used to want a degree a long time ago. I said, you know what, but I'm going to sit back and wait on God, and I'm going to do some things, because I saw everybody and their mama had an honorary doctorate, but you can hardly speak good English, but you got a doctorate. See, so when you talk about the character and the integrity of God, you will let God mold you and build you up and raise you up so that when you're doing what you do, it cannot be refuted. The enemy cannot bring anything against you. You can, Christ said, nobody takes my life, but I lay my life down so I can pick it back up. Christ said, when the enemy comes, he will find nothing of him. He will find nothing in me. He will find nothing of himself in me. And see, we got people, this rebellion, you're going to pull rebellious people. And what happens a lot of times, especially in cities, you see people leaving other ministries to go start their ministry. They target other people's ministries for members. They target other people's ministries for members because they lack an anointing to be able to start from scratch. See, when God really calls you to pastor, and I know this is good preaching, when God calls you to pastor or calls you to a ministry, he will give you an anointing to be able to start and create out of nothing. Therefore, he will give you the integrity of it. So you see, sometimes when people start these ministries, they're really not of God because they have no integrity, because they want to target other people's churches so they can pull other people's members. So they want to take part of another man's work. They really don't have the... That's how you know God really didn't tell them, because if God really told you, you would want to build this thing from the ground up and build it right so that it could produce babies all by itself. But the way people are building churches nowadays, you are leaving people's ministries. You claim God told you something when it really was a demon. But anyway, you claim the Lord told you that, and you are now trying to build a church and birth something out by a, I call it in vitro. In vitro. See, you want to go and get and try to birth people out that have already been birthed out. You're trying to birth something out that's already created. No, you better go and get with God in prayer when you come out of timing, so you see these things that happen. You see these things that happen. So we don't want to listen to the voice of the prophet because we're greater than the prophet. We don't want to listen to our pastors because you're greater than your pastors now. You got a Holy Ghost, and I don't know if it's the Holy Ghost of the Bible. You're serving a God, but I don't know if it's the God of the Bible. So you're listening to something and someone somewhere, but we don't know if it's God in the Bible. We need to be subject to our leaders. And when you call your leader, you need to be able to subject your gift, because the Bible says when you have an ought against your brother, leave your gift at the altar. So when you come and say you're going to submit unto somebody, that's your time, that's your gifting that you're submitting to that ministry, so that that ministry can use your gifting to apply it to their vision and their purpose, so that that vision and purpose can come together. That's why you submit, because it's the ultimate test of the killing and dying of your will and your flesh, so that another man's will can come to fruition. But we can tell that people do not understand that when you can so easily get up and claim you heard from the Lord because you want to start ministry. Why are people so quick to go into ministry nowadays? Anyway, even after we went through stories in the Bible and talked about Miriam and Aaron, and we saw Uzziah, we see the judgment of the Lord here in the scriptures, people are just so quick to get up and to go in ministry. And this I don't understand. Let's go to the book of 2 Kings. I want to try to find a scripture here. I might not be able to get it in time. But I really don't understand why people want to be in ministry so much. Let's go to the book of 2 Kings. Let's go to chapter 9. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 9, give me out some scriptures here. We went to 2 Chronicles 26, was it? And then we went to the book of Numbers 12. We're going now to 2 Kings 9. 2 Kings 9. Yeah, that was 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Okay, we're going to 2 Kings 9 here. This is where God dealt with the house of Ahab and begins to deal with Jezebel. Chapter 9 says, and I'm going to read this here, and Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophet and said unto him, gird up your loins and take this box of oil in the hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise from among his brethren, carry him to an inner chamber, take the box of oil, pour it on his head, and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel, open the door, flee and tarry not. And so as a prophet, sometimes you see, look, there's some stuff you're going to have to say and go about your business and run with it. You're going to have to come in, show up, say what you got to say, and then throw the deuces. Now, I want you to annotate here that he told the prophet, he told this young man to say one thing. Now, verse four says, so the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. He came, and behold, the captain's host were sitting. And he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, unto which of all of us? And he said, to thee, O captain. He arose, went into the house, and poured the oil on his head, and said it to him. Now, he was only told to say what we said up in the scripture earlier. He said, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed the king over Israel. That's all the prophet was supposed to say. But what I'm going to show you is when he was obedient to the prophet, it enacted his gift to another level. And see, when he came up to the captain, he said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king of the people of Israel, even over Israel. And verse 7, and the prophecy kept going. Now, that was all he was supposed to say, but we see his gift is in an overflow mode because he's in obedience in an apostolic mission from the prophet, and he's under authority. And verse 7 says, and he continues to prophesy, and thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel, for the whole house of Ahab shall perish. And I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. See, his prophetic gifting continued to work at another level when he was obedient, and because he was under the apostolic ministry. The prophet told him, go. And he was obedient, and he went. And his prophetic gift came and operated in a whole nother level. Verse 11 says, then Jehu came forth to the servants of his Lord, and one of them said, is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow with thee? And Jehu looked at them, and the scripture said, Jehu said, you know the man and his communication. They basically said, look, don't act brand new. You know he hangs with the prophets. You know, they acting brand new. What did he say? What did he say? Look, don't act brand new. You know he, you know the man and his communication. You know he hangs with the prophets. And verse 12 says, and they said, it is false. Tell us now. Because they didn't get an answer. So they probably thought it was something that was negative. So they're already trying to say it's false. And he said, thus spake he to me, saying, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then the people hasted, took every man his garment, put it on under him on top of the stairs, blew up with trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. So when they thought it was something that was negative, they was like, it's false. But when they found out it was something that was positive, now all of a sudden, they decided that they wanted to communicate. Now, let's turn the page. Now, we understand the prophet came and anointed him as king. Let's turn the page and go to verse 21. And verse 21 said, and Joram said, make ready. And his chariot was made ready. Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out. Because remember, it was divided into two kingdoms. Each in his chariot, they went out against Jehu. So they was coming against Jehu, and they met him in the portion of Naboth, the Jezreelite. Now, remember Naboth. Remember, they met him in the area. Remember, Naboth was the one that Jezebel had killed, because she wanted his vineyard. And it came to pass, verse 22, when Joram saw Jehu, and I want you to get this, and it says, and Joram saw Jehu, that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And Jehu answered, what peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are many? Now, this was a man who was in power. He said, there ain't going to be no peace as long as your mama's still alive. And the Bible says, and Joram turned his hands and fled, and said to Ahaziah, there's treachery, O Ahaziah. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength. Full strength. See, when you deal with a spirit of rebellion, you deal with it with full strength. And he smote Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow went at his heart, and the sunk, and he sunk down in his chariot. See, Jehu was anointed to be king, but he said, when he met him, see, people meet you and say peace. No, it's not going to be no peace as long as you're rebellious, trifling, full of witchcraft and sorcery, out of order behind, is still operating. Y'all ain't, look, this is in the book. As long as it's still operating, as long as this spirit is still alive and operating, there will be no peace. This is why you have to go full strength. They say he drew his bow back full strength to kill and get rid of this lineage. And if we continue on here, then said Jehu to Bidekar, his captain, take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab, his father, the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, saith the Lord. And I will requite thee in this plat, says the Lord. Now therefore, take and cast him into the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord. And then not soon thereafter, we see the death of Jezebel. So when leaders decide that they're going to attack a spirit of witchcraft and rebellion in the church, when you kill that one spirit, God starts to reveal others. And that's probably what a lot of leaders are seeing. See, he starts to reveal, when you kill one spirit of witchcraft and go at it with full strength, you start to reveal, or you start to see the other spirits of witchcraft that are operating. Because when you kill one, see, all of them are connected, because they're probably going over each other's house, talking, having dinner, speaking rebellion against the Lord. These are people that go and have conversation. They talk about the past and the ministry and what they don't like and what's going wrong. Like, they just can see so clear, and this ain't God and that ain't God, because they know everybody's business. And a lot of times, leaders, you got to watch who's hanging over your house carrying your briefcase, because a lot of times it's some of the people that's closest to you that are some of the ones that's going to be the most rebellious, because they're going to feel they know you. And see, this is the plot of armor bearing, because I've armor bearing six pastors across this country in a short time period, but in a brief enough time period, about 10 to 12 years. And what has happened is I began to see that a lot of the times you get people that want to be around the pastor. They think that they're going to be anointed because they carry the pastor's briefcase, or I'm going to be anointed because I'm hanging around with the pastor, and they get geeked up. But see, when you are an armor bearer, you got to be strengthened up to another level. I found that God usually calls a prophetic person, individual, to be an armor bearer, because they have to be able to see stuff in the spirit and take a couple arrows themselves from the enemy. And they have to be able to see sides of their pastor and not reveal it. You're going to see some what look like weak sides of your pastors, the human side to your pastors, but you cannot quote-unquote reveal that. You have to keep some things to yourself. You know what I'm saying? You have to deal with it. It's ministry. You are called to protect the pastor, not to get their weaknesses and reveal it. Are you a spy or are you an armor bearer? And so this is one of the things that is happening in the body. But God is revealing in this season. And not only is he revealing, and that's why I had to preach this message, because he's given me a commission for the impartation of the prophetic domain and realm. And so with the impartation, there is a blessing to those that have been faithful. But also with impartation can come judgment to those who are operating out of rebellion and witchcraft, who have not been faithful, to let them know that, look, this could have been your time. And what's happening is, in this season of impartation, the enemy is causing people to miss their impartation because of the timing. They're missing their impartation by getting under the spirit of rebellion and spirit of error that's causing them to miss because that means they are close to a time. They were about to be sent out. You were probably about to be sent out. If you had just stayed a few more years or stayed a little longer, you had been given legitimate papers, legitimate anointing, legitimate call, legitimate authority to go forth and do what it is that God is calling you to do. But the enemy has deceived you and duped you and hoodwinked you, and now you're out there on your own, and now you got folks that have been struggling. I know people that's been in ministry for 20 years been in the same place. Why? Because they didn't listen to their pastor. There was a pastor in Hawaii who used to talk to us about Watchman Nee and spiritual authority and obeying leadership, and it's a good book. And we had the book Covenant Relationships by Keith and Trader, spiritual authority, of course, by Watchman Nee, and some other things in there. And so he used to tell us about leadership all the time, but when it came time for him to obey his pastor, he didn't want to obey. And that was a key. That was something that was key to me, that I had to leave that ministry because rebellion was in the house. Because how is it that you want to preach authority and subjection to authority when you're the one in charge, but when you're the one that's subject to authority, or you're the one that's under, then all of a sudden you want to do what you claim the Lord is telling you to do? And I've seen that firsthand. So he was a pastor, and his pastor, his bishop, came down and said, look, man, I want you to come to New York. I want you to be Passover pastor, bishop over bishops. He said he did not want to do that. He wanted to do the work that God is calling him to do here in Hawaii, and he wanted to establish his own thing. He wanted to do his own work, and so he wanted to stay there, and he didn't listen to the bishop that he said was over him. So you're not listening to your covering, then you cannot have the integrity. How can you really expect for people to listen to you and yours? I said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So it's just bringing destruction to your own ministry. And I said, I can't stay here in an atmosphere like that. This is not good seed. It's not good ground. It's rebellious. People need to see you walking out of what you preach, walking out of what you teach, walking out of what you claim you're subject to. And people need to see that operating. So again, we've went to the Bible. We went to Numbers chapter 12 with Miriam and Aaron and Moses, and saw the judgment of God, and he stopped the camp. We went to 2 Kings chapter 9, and we've talked a little bit about Jehu and Jezebel. We see the judgment of Jezebel, but we see God dealing with Jezebel, and look at how God dealt with Jezebel. He sent the prophet to the king, but the king dealt with the rebellion. The king made war. So we see that there. We also went to 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and dealt with Uzziah to show an example there of the judgment of the Lord and how God deals with leadership. So you have three instances here that shows us that God does not deal with rebellion. The Bible also says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so those of us that are quote-unquote, we like to stick to our guns because your pride is in the way. Your pride is in the way. You let your pride get in the way. And see, a lot of times we don't teach these things. We don't teach these things, so everybody's just coming to church to do whatever. You got your whole book of notes and lessons now. You think you're ready to pastor because you got a whole book of notes that you took in church. But I don't even want to ask how many of those things set in, and I don't even really want to ask you to teach no Bible study so we can find out. Because guess what? To Brother Ward, Calvin Ward, Prophet Ward, look, my spirit has been built up. Titles don't make a difference to me. You can call yourself apostle or doctor all day long, and you can still be a baby in the spirit and out of order. You can call yourself a prophet all day long, and you can still be a baby. You can be deacon, a doctor, reverend, apostle of the 30th house of the church of God, in Christ, out of Christ, around Christ. Who cares? When I meet you, I got to pick up in my spirit. God's going to let me know in the spirit because we walk by faith, and God's going to let me know where you are as a prophet, because if he can't reveal and he doesn't speak to me, and that's my position, that's what I'm called to do, and you don't want to listen to the office or the gifting that he's called to operate in that area more than that your pastor or other leadership, then what is it really saying about the household of God? You don't even trust the ascension gifts. You don't even trust the voice of God that's here. How can you hear God esoterically? So let's go to the book of Galatians, and we're going to end this message on these last few minutes. I'm going to talk about the works of the flesh. Because verse 18, Galatians chapter 5 says, but if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness. And here we go with these next four or five that are all connected with each other. Idolatry. You get an individual, the moment you stop listening to leadership in your church, you place yourself in a position of idolatry, because the only person you're listening to is yourself. And then you begin to operate in witchcraft, which is verse 20. Witchcraft is the second work of the flesh in verse 20 that's mentioned, because witchcraft is now you're in rebellion, you're against authority, and you're only listening to yourself, so you're operating out of idolatry. I don't hear the voice, I'm only hearing myself. So this voice of the Lord you claim you're hearing is not subject to anybody else but yourself, idolatry. And now you're operating in witchcraft because you're acting on that which you claim you heard, which is now you're in rebellion against leadership because you're not listening to the voice of the God through leadership. And then hatred comes in, and variance, because see, hatred comes in because you have to position yourself. If you're going to do what you're claiming the Lord is telling you to do, you have to put up a wall so you're not hearing other people. So you have to find something wrong with them. So this is when your mind goes to find stuff wrong with them. There's something wrong with this one. Why I'm not listening to them. I'm not listening to this one because that's not God. So you try to find stuff up, and you put up a wall that separates you from them, because it's not love. And then variance. Then this spirit, all these spirits start to work together to variance. Variance is nothing more than divisions. It's strife and discord. And see, that spirit starts to work discord, because usually people who operate in spirit of rebellion and go start under ministry, they try to pull people from that ministry to start your little stuff because they don't have the spiritual gonads to allow God to birth this thing out. Neither do they have the spiritual fortitude or the spiritual capability or the level in the spirit realm, because you're going to find out quick about authority in the spirit. They don't have the level to do it themselves, so they try to bring other people from other people's ministries, and they try to take parts from other men's work to come together to come over here to try to do this church, but it's out of order. And then you got emulations that follows this next one that's in there. Emulations is jealousy. And emulations, you know, I see it, I do it, this is what I want, because now you think people are jealous of you. See, this spirit really works. You think people are jealous of you and they don't want to see you prosper. And then if the truth be told, you have a little bit of emulation or jealousy inside you, which is pushing you to start your church. And then we have wrath and strife, because what begins to happen is with wrath and strife, what really begins to happen is here we begin to get in a position where now you think people are fighting against you, you think people hate you and all of this, and this spirit is causing you to hate people or see the flaws in other people to use it as justification for your rebelliousness. And in this same verse 20, it talks about seditions and heresies. Seditions are dissensions, because you'll find out people, it's funny how you can be under somebody for years and it'd be all good, but when you want to do what you want to do, now all of a sudden the same word that sustained you is no longer has the power to give you instruction in righteousness. There is a spirit that has come up there and has caused you to be in a spirit of sedition. These are dissensions, because now you begin to chop up the doctrine that fed you and strengthened you for all these years. You begin to chop up that doctrine so you can use the chopping up of the doctrine and finding stuff wrong to fuel your dissension. To fuel your dissensions. And all this chopping up of the right doctrine you've been getting that you use as fuel for your dissension, it's nothing more than heresy. And if we come to verse 21, it says there are envyings and murders. The Bible says we can murder people with our mouth. We can murder them with our mouth. Drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, here it goes, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you are in rebellion. You're not listening to your pastor. You're under a spirit of idolatry, operating in witchcraft. Because if you are in rebellion, you're operating in idolatry because you're only listening to yourself. You're in witchcraft because you're in rebellion against God or stated leadership. You're in hatred and variance because you have walls set up. You're not listening, taking good godly counsel. You're under emulations, wrath, and strife, and sedition, and heresies, because you are causing discord in the body, and all those things are connected, and you have jealousy and pride in your heart. And the Bible says where there is pride, there's every evil work. Six things doth the Lord hate more than seven. And a haughty look is one of them. That spirit of pride is in there. And then we got envyings, murderness, and drunkenness, because in your wrath and to protect what this spirit is making you believe God is telling you to do, you have to tear down other people. And so you begin to use your mouth to tear down other people. And I'm talking spiritual, because we know murders can be physical as well. But Paul lets us know here that those which do such things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And in a future message, we're going to talk about the kingdom of God, because we got people that are saved, but they're not operating in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. But people that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So how can you be in leadership? How can you be in ministry? And you've already, at the start of your ministry, cut yourself off from inheritance of the kingdom of God. And so it's connecting back to impartation, back to getting your inheritance through the leadership that God has ordained for you and the people that watch for your soul. And we got people that are rejecting the ascension gifts because you just great. You just call yourself what you want to call yourself. But God says something that is different. Well, I hope you really got something from this message. I want you to go back to Numbers chapter 12, read up on Aaron, Miriam, Moses, and their discord while they spoke against Moses. I want you to go back into 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, I believe, is it 1 Kings and 9. I have to flip this here. 1 Kings and 9. I want you to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, because 2 Chronicles chapter 26 is talking about Uzziah when he got up to do what he wanted to do. And 2 Kings 9 is talking about Jehu when he had to go kill Jezebel, because the spirit of witchcraft must die. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. And if rebellion is at the center of witchcraft, then which is not supposed to live, then why are pastors and leaders dealing with these spirits? How you deal with these spirits dictates what is loosed and released in your church and in your ministry for the days to come. Because this spirit is crying to kill. This spirit seeks to kill ministry, kill individuals. And if you let it in long enough, it's going to stay there and affect other areas of ministry. Then we went to Galatians chapter 5, talking about the works of the flesh, how witchcraft, variance, idolatry, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, and heresies. These things are works of the flesh, and so they need to be eradicated out of the church. And tonight we were talking about order in the church, a qualified leader. And so you can take this message and know if you have some qualified leaders in your church, you can find the spirit of rebellion in your church, and you can know that, look, these are the people that God has called to be with me. And you need to preach this message in your church, and you need to teach this for Bible study, and really need to drive this in your Bible studies, to teach this in the body for a season. Can understand that the spirit of witchcraft is really not to be dealt with. You're not really to just deal with this spirit of witchcraft. It is to be killed I want to thank you for tuning in. This has been Sunday Night Live. I hope you have taken this message on order, subentitled A Qualified Leader in the Church. Take this message. I want you to listen to this message, review it, and then take it, listen to it in your car. And you need to take this, go to the scriptures that are here, and preach it in your church and Bible studies, and watch God move and begin to reveal the rebellious leaders in your church and help you set your church right and get it in order so you can see a blessing in the future. This has been Sunday Night Live with Prophet Calvin Ward.